say one of the number one comments we get at the end of the year is, this next year, don't do away with the Kingdom's Coming front, so we won't. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Psalm 54. And as I said in Sunday school, I will say again, I am very thankful that in this church we're committed to teaching the whole counsel of God. We don't avoid things because they're unpleasant or uncomfortable or not happy. You know, today's psalm is not necessarily a happy psalm. At least it doesn't start out that way. Nor is the theme here. And the theme is under attack. Yes, as a Christian, you can come under attack from other people. It's not pleasant to be in that situation. Nevertheless, it can and should end in worship. And we'll see that as we go through this morning. Psalm 54, the title of the message this morning is Under Attack. And we'll read the inscription to the chief musician, which tells you that this is for public consumption because it is filled with instruction. To the chief musician with stringed instruments, because music is a powerful means for instilling God's truth. Thank you so much, Brenda and Dan, for helping us instill God's truth. I'll be singing that the whole way down the mountain tomorrow as I go snowboarding with my son and his wife. I'll try to sing that verse. So to the chief musician with stringed instruments, a contemplation. Thoughts and words of David when he was under attack, and his thoughts and words are profitable for us. When the Ziphites, where do you think they're from? Ziph. When the Ziphites went and said to Saul, is David not hiding with us? No, obviously, David found out that they went and told David's enemy about him. So there's I was looking for an Ecclesiastes before I got up here. You know, there's a proverb in Ecclesiastes that says, you shouldn't speak against the king because he'll find out. David found out somehow that the Ziphites went and tried to give up his position. And he wrote this in response. This is David's response to being under attack. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them. Selah. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies. David was the servant of the Lord, a man after God's own heart, and here he was under attack, not with bow and arrows, not with weapons, not with physical weapons. The way he was under attack here was that the Ziphites, who certainly knew who he was, and certainly knew, as everyone in the land did, certainly knew that he was to become king, they went and gave away his position to Saul, who was seeking to destroy David's life. And so David says in verse 3, strangers have risen up against me. In other words, it's not that they have no idea who I am. It's not that they don't know my name. It's just that they don't know me. And I personally have had experience with coming under attack. I'm sure that many of you have as well. And one of the first things that comes to my mind is this person doesn't even know me. How could they possibly start attacking me? They don't really know me. And I think many of you could tell stories, and you can relate to that. On the one hand, this is David's response to those who were attacking him, as to all of Israel. But the Spirit of God has preserved it for us because this is to teach us. This is here for our instruction. So here's a question for you. If you are Christ's, and by that I mean that you have believed in Jesus Christ, of course the gospel is that Christ came into this world to save sinners, right? And he came to save us from our sins and from this present evil age. But if you are Christ, does that mean you'll never suffer? No, of course not. In fact, the contrary is true. Whoever desires to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So if you're Christ, can you come under attack? Yes. And it can happen that those who attack you really don't know you. They really don't know your heart. They don't know your love for the Lord. They don't know your relationship with Him. They don't know how close you are with God. They might know your name, David's enemies certainly knew his name. They might know your position. The Ziphites knew who David was. But it can happen in this life, beloved, that even if you are Christ, you are his beloved child, it can happen that people who really do not even know you can rise up against you. The question is, when that happens, what do you do? What should you know and what should you do? So I'm going to give you a few answers from this psalm. This is to equip you for when you come under attack. And let me say, the more you stand for God's word, the more you will come under attack. When I became a preacher, the preacher who mentored me said, "You know you're signing up for stuff, right?" Right? I said, "I know." Because if you're going to preach God's word, you will be attacked. What do you do?
First.
If you are Christ and you come under attack, take your case straight to the Supreme Court. Take your case straight to the Supreme Court. Don't mess around with lower courts. Don't mess around with human courts. Go to the court of heaven, go to the throne of God, and take it straight to the Lord. Why? Because the Lord already knows everything that's happening. He already knows your circumstance. He knows who is attacking you. He knows what they're saying. He knows why they're doing this. Just go straight to God. This is what David did. Take a look. He says, "Save me, O God, by your name." By your name means use everything that makes you who you are. Use everything that gives you your name. Use your power and your wisdom and your strength and your knowledge. Save me by your name and vindicate me by your strength, which is really, you execute judgment in this case, Lord. I want you to judge between me and those who are attacking me. By the way, if you're an attacker against somebody who's righteous, guess what they're going to do? They're going to run to God. That's not good for you. Right? The righteous run to God. And the righteous lay out their case before him and say, "Lord, you know what he's saying. You know what she's saying. You know what they're saying. Deliver me. Use everything that makes you who you are and vindicate me," he says, "by your strength, by your power," which part of that is God's knowledge, his justice, his grace, his patience. Take your case directly to the Supreme Court. Don't mess around with lower human courts. Just run to God. Verse 2, he says, "Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth." This is David humbling himself before God. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is humbling yourself and saying, "Lord, I don't want to take my own revenge. I don't want to deal with this on my own. I'm coming to you, and I'm begging you, protect me." You think God's going to hear this prayer? Actually, God's going to hear this prayer before David's even done praying it. That's how fast God's response can be. He can answer you while you're still praying. "Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth." God is going to hear him before he's even done, which tells you that the attackers don't stand a chance. They would have been far wiser to leave him alone. So if you're Christ and you come under attack, first, take your case straight to the Supreme Court. In other words, take it to the Lord. And when you get there, number two, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Tell God the truth. If you're guilty of wrongdoing, then confess your sins to the Lord. If you're not sure if you're guilty of wrongdoing, then you pray like David did in an earlier psalm, and I don't remember exactly which one it was. It was early on, where he says things like, "Well, if I have done this thing, then I'm willing to pay the price." So take it to the Lord. It's Psalm 7. Oh Lord, if I've done this, if there is iniquity in my hands, if I've repaid evil to him who is at peace with me, if I've plundered my enemy without cause, then let him pursue me and overtake me. Just open yourself up to God, open your heart, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, including the truth about your attackers. This is not good for the attacker, but tell him the truth about your attackers. Notice what he says. Verse 3, "For strangers..." It doesn't mean people that don't know my name or don't know my position. It means these people don't even know me. They don't know me.
And yet
they have the gall, the audacity, to rise up against me. strangers, God, they're strangers, and they've risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. What's an oppressor? Literally, an oppressor, this word, is somebody who has certain knowledge or power or ability, but they're using it to bad ends, and they're using it to bring down the righteous. There are people like that. They have some knowledge, they have some power, they have some ability, but they abuse it, and they use it to bring down the righteous. Lay out your case to the Lord. Tell him the truth. And then notice, he says they have not set God before them. Think about this. Selah, think about that. It means, I know what their motive isn't. Okay, and we don't know what the Ziphites' motive was. We could say, well, why were they going to Saul and trying to tell Saul where David was? In fact, the fuller account says, the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah saying, is David not hiding with us in the strongholds in the woods on the south side of Jeshimon? Therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul, and our part will be to deliver him into your hand. Come on down. We know where he is. We'll give him over to you. And you say, well, why would they do that? Well, I think, I have a guess. You know, Saul was the one who became king first, and Saul had more men and more vicious men. So the Ziphites thought, you know, if we're going to choose sides here, we ought to be on the side of might. They'd have been wiser to be on the side of right. They should have been on David's side, even though David only had a few hundred men. And they should have been willing to stand with David, with God, with truth, than stand with Saul and stand with man's might. So we don't know what their motive was, but we know what it wasn't. And we know what the motive of attackers isn't when they rise up against the righteous. It isn't to please God. Last line of verse 3. Take a look. They have not set God before them. What does that mean? It means whatever their motive may be, they're not motivated by God. With a desire to honor him, to submit to his authority, to please him. They have not set God and his word before them, whatever else their motive may be. So listen, if you are Christ's and you come under attack, and if you desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, you will sooner or later. Number one, take your case straight to the Supreme Court, i.e. to the Lord in prayer, and tell him the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, including the truth about your attackers. And third, put your trust in him. Put your trust in him. Verse 4, behold, look at this. And of course, David is appealing to all Israel with this public song. Look at this. God is my helper. That means God himself is the one who helps me when I come under attack. Boy, there's no better resource. If you come under attack as a Christian, do you have resources? You bet you do. You've got the greatest resources in the world. You have God himself. You have Christ. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Bible. You have the Word of God. You have all those who are Christ's as your resource. Behold, God is my helper, verse 4. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. What's David doing? He's putting his trust in the Lord, saying, that's who I have. David, in contrast to his attackers, he did set God before him and said, all I have on my mind is pleasing God. That's all I want to do here. I want to please him. You know, attackers against the righteous don't stand a chance, because the righteous are going to run to God. They're going to go straight to the Supreme Court. They're going to lay out the case before him. They're going to beg God to hear their prayer. They know they have God as their helper.
Does the Lord take sides?
You bet he does. Look, the Lord is with those who uphold my life. In other words, the Lord is with those who are on my side. So here's a good question. How can you know for a fact that God is on your side in any given case? Here's how. Let me ask you this. God gives grace to the humble, and God is against the proud. Okay? So in any given case, there are the humble and there are the proud. Okay? Now, a lot of people don't understand humility. True humility is seen in what? Is it seen? I like to do this. Well, I don't know. you know, I couldn't say, because people think that's humility. People think arrogance is when you stand up and say, thus says the Lord, which would make every prophet and preacher arrogant. No. Good prophets and good preachers are people who say, this is what the Word of God says. This is what the Word of God says. That is seen as arrogance. True humility, as revealed by Philippians chapter 2, is seen in humble submission to the authority of God. That's true humility. It isn't him hawing around and saying, well, I don't really know. No, it's saying, I do know because God has told me. So, if you are humbly submitted to the authority of God and his will and his words and his way, then you are in the path of grace. God gives grace that is unmerited favor and unmerited help to the humble. But God is against the proud. The proud are those who rise up against those who are humbly submitted to God and his word and his will and his ways. And in all these cases, there's somebody who's humbly submitted to the Lord and his word, and there's somebody who isn't. So you can know if the Lord's on your side. And David says, behold, look at this, people of God. Check it out. Although I am under attack, God himself is my helper, and he is with those who uphold my life. He's with those who support me. And verse 5, he will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. That's not quite the way it reads. The first line literally reads, this evil will return upon my enemies. It'll come on their own head. And what that means is the evil they try to do to me is going to come upon them instead. Picture you're out, it's you and your attacker, and you're out in the sandbox. And your attacker picks up a hand of sand, and your attacker goes back like this, and your attacker's going to throw sand in your face, and just as the sand leaves his hand, the Lord sees what's happening, you throw up a prayer to God, God sends a blast of wind, and the sand goes in the face of your enemy. That's the picture here. What does the Bible say? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he what? Reaps. And if someone sows iniquity against a servant of the Lord, he will reap calamity. Proverbs 22:8. Whoever sows iniquity will reap vanity, which really is calamity. Job 4:8. Those who sow trouble reap trouble. Proverbs 26:27. He who digs a pit will fall into it. He who rolls a stone, it will come back on him. You try to set a trap for one of God's righteous ones, you'll be trapped yourself. You try to destroy the reputation of a man or woman of God, your reputation will be ruined. How many of you remember Wild Coyote? Oh, yeah. Got some Bugs Bunny fans in here. That was the greatest cartoon. Wile E. Coyote, always rising up against the Roadrunner. Always setting traps and succeeding only in trapping himself. Always lighting off Acme rockets and getting blown up by them. Whistle it with me. Right? That's a great cartoon with a great lesson. And by the way, the song said, I could sing it. I probably could. All right. No, I won't. But it said, that coyote is really a crazy clown. That coyote is really a crazy clown. When will he learn that he never can mow him down? Right? You can't. Poor little Roadrunner never bothered anyone. He's just running down the roads, his idea of having fun. Right? Roadrunner. Well, listen, beloved. Here's the gospel in Bugs Bunny terms. If you are Christ's and you believe in Jesus Christ and he's your Lord and you love him and you're submitted to his word, you're the roadrunner. Beep, beep. You're the roadrunner. You're just living your life. You're going down the road. You're trying to please God. You're trying to do his will. You're trying to proclaim his word. You're wanting to honor him in what you do. And there are a lot of crazy clowns like Wile E. Coyote who try to come up with ways to mow you down. And they never can. And they never learn. That coyote is really a crazy clown. I don't want to let him get in the road and run down. People become the righteous crazy clowns. And here's why. It's because God is faithful to his own. That's why. Because God is faithful to his own. Psalm 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, this thing that is weighing you down. Oftentimes, that's somebody's attacking you, that weighs you down. You can't sleep at night because you know that someone is against you, right? Here's what you do with that burden. Every time you feel it coming on again, cast your burden upon the Lord. Here's the promise. And he will sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Psalm 55:22. There's one you should cling to tightly. If you are Christ's, you're not going to be moved. The worst they can do is kill you. Instant heaven. You get instantly promoted. So, if you are Christ and you come under attack, number one, take your case straight to the Supreme Court. That is, take it to the Lord. Tell him the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Put your trust completely in him. He'll deal with her. He'll deal with him. He'll deal with them. And then, fourth, finally, praise him like it's already over and done. Praise him like it's already over and done. Verse 6, I will freely, that is willingly, cheerfully sacrifice to you. God loves a cheerful giver. And here the giving is of praise. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. Everything that makes God God is good. He is compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. He keeps loving kindness for thousands. He forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. And yet he is just. There's no way he will leave the guilty go unpunished. By the way, the proverb says about those who are prideful, even if they join forces, not one of them will go unpunished. Just make sure that you're not guilty of being prideful and being submissive to the authority of God and his word. Make sure you're not guilty of that. Because if you are, you won't go unpunished. Worship the Lord as though it's already a done deal. This is what David is doing. Verse 7, for he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies. If the Lord has delivered you out of all trouble, if it's as good as done, is that good? Oh yeah, that's good. What about the last line? My eye has seen its desire is in italics because it's not in the original. My eye has seen it upon my enemies. Well, what's it? It is the trouble that they meant to bring upon me. He has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen that trouble come upon my enemies. It backfired. They tried to bring me down. They only brought themselves down. They tried to ruin my reputation. They only ruined their own. And that's what he's saying. And this is part of the gospel. Part of the gospel is that if you are Christ's, you are his beloved. He is your helper, he's your protector, and he's not going to let any weapon formed against you prosper. That is also from the Old Testament. So praise the Lord. Rejoice like it's already good as done. Finally, a word to any of you here who might be so foolish and so arrogant is to rise up against the righteous, to rise up against those who love the Lord, who trust him, who are submitted to his word. And maybe that's you would rise up against your own husband, your own wife, your own child, your own daughter, your own father or mother. You should know you can never succeed. You are doomed to failure before you start. If you're going to rise up against the righteous, you're not going to win. Whatever scheme you try is only going to backfire in your face. If you sow iniquity, you're going to reap calamity. And I'd hate to see you suffer that. And so I give you this piece of advice in love. Humble yourself today before the Lord. Submit yourself 100% to his authority and the authority of his word. The Bible says, humble yourself at the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. That's what I want for all of you. So if you're not humble, humble yourself today. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for your word. We thank you for your protection, your love for us. Thank you for the confidence that we can have in you. Thank you that we can bring every case directly to your court and count on you to bring forth justice in due time. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your love. Father, I pray for anyone here today who is under attack, that you would comfort that woman, that man, that brother or sister in Christ. Comfort them, and may they bring their case to you. And I pray for anyone here who is an attacker, And I just pray, Father, that you would be patient. In Christ's name, amen.